Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Treasures of Our Faith, reflections from priests in our listening area on topics of their choosing. And now, Treasures of Our Faith.
Welcome to Treasures of Our Faith. My name is Father David Schalk. I'm the pastor at Christ the King Church in Columbus, on the east side of Columbus. We are focusing on the Hispanic presence and Hispanic ministry in the United States and in the Diocese of Columbus on this four-part series, this four-part Treasures of Our Faith. Let us begin this second part in this four-part series with a prayer. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we know that you have blessed us with so many treasures. You've blessed us with our faith. You've blessed us with hope, with your love. We ask that you continue to bless us and all the members of your church. Continue to build up and purify and enrich your church. May we respond to those treasures with grateful hearts and serve you willingly this day and always. And Jesus, we make this prayer to you who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're talking about the Latino presence in the church, Hispanic ministry in the church. The last time we were together, the first part of this four-part series, we spoke on the church's teaching on immigration. We talked about the importance of welcoming the stranger among us, the importance of seeing Christ in the immigrant. We also spoke about undocumented immigrants. What do we do here in the United States with so many undocumented immigrants in our midst, up to 11 million or 12 million, 13 million perhaps undocumented immigrants? We discussed the bishops of this country, their call to open up a pathway to citizenship, that great need in our nation right now, a pathway to citizenship for these undocumented immigrants. And how do we go about doing that? Surely through some sort of punitive consequences, but indeed a pathway to citizenship needs to be opened up. So those are some of the some of the issues we discussed in the first part, immigration and how we deal with this situation we currently find ourselves in the United States. In this second part of this four-part series, we're going to talk a little bit about the demographics of the church here in the United States, of course, with an eye to the presence of Latinos. We're going to talk about, in a broad way, some of the trends within Hispanic ministry and what that means for the church here in the United States. We will be relying heavily on a study that was done by Dr. Hoffman Ospino and his research team at Boston College's School of Theology and Ministry. And Dr. Ospino wanted to get his mind wrapped around the situation of the church in the United States when it comes to the Hispanic population. He put out a survey in 2011. It was really three comprehensive questionnaires that were sent to get this 4,368 parishes throughout the country. These parishes, over 4,000 parishes, were sent these questionnaires because they had Hispanic ministry there present in their parish. And it turns out, I remember receiving in the mail these questionnaires. One was for me, and there were a couple others for our Hispanic ministers, if you will, those who are participant leaders in the Hispanic community at Christ the King. It was a lengthy questionnaire, a lengthy survey. It took a great deal of time to complete, but I'm glad I participated. We sent all the information back to Boston College, to Dr. Ospino, and 3 years later, took a long time, obviously, to compile all of this data, but came up with some very interesting, we might even say startling, results. And this study truly shed light on what's happening with our Latino brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church in the U.S. Before we go on, just we should mention this historic note. I mean, the first Catholic presence in the U.S. was, of course, a Hispanic presence. I mean, when Christopher Columbus, his second voyage to this land, he brought with him Catholic missionaries. We know that just 30 years after his arrival in America, the first Catholic church was established in the Americas. That was in Puerto Rico in 1523. We're familiar with the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe. That was less than 10 years after that first church was opened in Puerto Rico. And in 1531, Our Lady of Guadalupe appears to St. Juan Diego. And soon after, literally millions of indigenous people embrace the Catholic faith. And we're going to talk more about that story later on in our four-part series here. But in the United States itself, we have St. Augustine, Florida. It's home to the oldest Catholic mission. That was established in 1565 by Spanish speakers, by Spaniards. We know about the Franciscan missionaries evangelizing in the South and the Southwest portions of our nation in the 1600s, the 1700s. They were evangelizing in Spanish, just as the Jesuits up north were evangelizing in French. So we read these heroic stories of the missionaries, like Blessed Junipero Serra, and these Franciscans, these, we could even say, great saints. They worked here in this country, and they were all speaking Spanish at the time. So, in so many words, for the past 500 years or so, there's been a Hispanic presence in the church in this land. Now, of course, it's varied, it's changed, it's fluctuated over the course of these 500 years. But depending on what part of the country you want to talk about, there has been indeed a Latino presence to a greater or lesser extent. You are listening to Treasures of Our Faith. Again, my name is Father David Schalk. I'm the pastor at Christ the King Church in Columbus, and we are in the second part of a four-part series on the Hispanic presence and Hispanic ministry in the United States in the Diocese of Columbus. We're focusing now on a broader picture of Hispanic ministry in the United States and investigating, unpacking, if you will, Dr. Ospino's great study on Hispanic ministry. He shares with us some statistics in his study. He says that 40% of all Catholics in the U.S. call themselves Hispanic. 40% of all Catholics in the U.S. call themselves Hispanic. It turns out that there are 25% of all parishes in the U.S. have Hispanic ministry. So 40% of all Catholics in the U.S. call themselves Hispanic. 25% of all parishes in the U.S. have Hispanic ministry. You'd think that if 40% of Catholics are Hispanic, we'd have about 40% of parishes with Hispanic ministry. You know, one of the conclusions we can draw from this discrepancy, it's a conclusion that's backed by our experience here in the Diocese of Columbus, it's this: there is a concentration of Hispanics in a smaller number of parishes. That is to say that there are a few churches that serve a large number of Hispanics. So here in the Diocese of Columbus, if you'd like to go to Mass in Spanish and you live on the west side, well, where are you going to go? There's a limited number of parishes that have Mass in Spanish on the west side, and so it is on the east side or the north side of our city. It's not necessarily where you live and you go to the closest parish. It's where is that Mass in Spanish, and if we have to travel a little bit further, then that's what we'll do. And that's how we have these concentration of Spanish speakers. It turns out again, this is according to Dr. Ospino's study, the weekend mass attendance in parishes with Hispanic ministry is on average 22% higher than parishes without Hispanic ministry. We have more people going to these parishes on average. Now, we have to realize that the number of parishes with Hispanic ministries is increasing at a very rapid rate. It's been increasing, and it continued to do so. So since 1960, we have, so more than the past 50 years, 71% of the growth in the Catholic Church in the United States is from the Hispanic culture. 71% of the growth in the Catholic Church in the U.S. is from the Hispanic culture. It's projected that by 2050, the Hispanic population in the U.S. is going to triple. It's expected to triple by 2050. That means that the church's Hispanic population will also continue to grow. This, I believe, is the most startling statistic, that 55% of all U.S. Catholics under the age of 30 are Hispanic. 55% of all Catholics under the age of 30 are Hispanic. So we know what that means. It means that those Hispanic children, those Hispanic young adults will soon mature and become the majority in the U.S. in the decades ahead, in the years ahead. So, and again, when I'm talking 55% of all U.S. Catholics under the age of 30 are Hispanic, it should mean that when I say Hispanic, I'm not talking about necessarily immigrants. So 2/3 of all Hispanics in the U.S. were born here in the U.S. So that means they're probably bilingual. They're shaped probably more than just the quote unquote Latino culture. It also means that there are a wide variety of needs within the Hispanic community. I mean, immigrants from Latin America, yes, they're Hispanic, but they're going to have particular needs. Perhaps they're going to have needs with something as basic as food and clothing. But the child of an immigrant is going to have altogether different needs. Perhaps he's going to need help applying for college because he'll be the first one in his family to go to college. I see this in my own parish. The culture of some of our older parishioners who are who came here from Latin America, their understanding, their needs is altogether different than their children who were born here, who are Americans through and through, but still consider themselves Hispanic. You know, the common denominator, of course, is that they do indeed speak Spanish. They all, and in our context, talking about the church in the United States, we know that these Latinos, they pray to God in their native tongue. And that's what surely draws more and more Hispanics to a parish, is offering mass, offering programs in the language that they use to pray to God. So the mass, other sacraments in Spanish, is what keeps this particular community engaged, because that language is such a part of their culture, their spiritual heritage. So, you know, a person may learn a new language and be completely bilingual, but he will always pray in his native language. I know that I'm far from fluent in Spanish, but I do not pray in Spanish. Even if I were completely fluent in that language, I'm going to pray to God in English. It's the language I used to pray to God as a child, and it's the language I'll continue to use for the rest of my life. You know what I dislike? I dislike going to confession in Spanish. It's very, very difficult for me. And I can imagine someone whose second language is English, asking them to go to confession in that language. It would be much, much more difficult. And can we say less spiritually enriching? That connection with the Lord is so much stronger, so much more personal when it's done in, well, in your native tongue. So it's not as if everything has to be in Spanish when it comes to Hispanic ministry. Catechetical programs, for example, surely can be in English for those young people who were born in this country, who are going to school in this country. There's groups within parishes that are going to have participants that are Hispanic but English speaking. There are groups that are going to have participants that are Hispanic but only Spanish speaking. There's going to be this mix of English and Spanish and bilingual interaction. So at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is that yes, indeed, we have to embrace this population. We have to say yes to the influx of the Hispanic presence in the United States. This is the new evangelization. We want to facilitate an encounter with Christ so that these individuals can get to know him on a deep and personal level. By the way, you are listening to Treasures of Our Faith. My name is Father David Schalk. I'm the pastor at Christ the King Church in Columbus. We've been discussing Hispanic presence, Hispanic ministry in the United States, in the Diocese of Columbus. We're in the second of four parts in this this series, Treasures of Our Faith. We're talking about what do we do with this great number of Hispanics here in the United States? What do we do with them in the church? And how do we essentially be prepared to reach this particular culture and speak to their spiritual needs? You know, of course, this is it's a challenge. It's an opportunity. If we do not embrace this opportunity, we know the consequences. The great number of Hispanics falling away from the church is nothing less than a travesty. We don't want our Latino brothers and sisters to search for God in another faith tradition. We don't want them to be attending Our Lady of Guadalupe Protestant Church. We want them to know that Our Lady of Guadalupe is here in the Catholic Church. We don't want our Latino brothers and sisters falling prey to secularism, which of course is a danger to our entire culture, but also to, of course, the Hispanic culture. So this is the idea. We're opening wide our doors and trying to address these challenges. What are the challenges? A few things come to mind. Number one, it's we have to answer the question, what does it mean exactly to be a multicultural, a bilingual parish? How do we communicate with each other effectively? How do we share resources effectively if we're not speaking the same language? It's almost as if we have to create new ways of being a parish in the United States. So our models in generations past are no longer acceptable. We had in small towns, we had the Irish Catholic Church and the German Catholic Church, who knows what other ethnic groups, and they all established their own parishes. And that it's not going to work in this day and age. What does it mean for us in 2014 to have a multicultural parish that speaks more than one language? How do we do that? And that question hasn't been answered precisely yet. We're still trying to figure that out, and it does take a great amount of effort. It takes an open mind. It takes a willingness to a willingness for the Spirit to draw us one into the body of Christ. Another, I would say, challenge would be catechesis for our Latino brothers and sisters. So in the church in the United States, we know that there's Catholic education. We know that there's catechesis within the parish, be it CCD or PSR. In the Latino community, in Latin American countries, the faith is passed down through the family. Young people learn the faith from their grandparents or their aunts and uncles. And unfortunately, due to immigration and the stress that puts on families, the separation that causes, that faith has not been passed down as effectively within these past few generations. So what do we do? We have to really catechize this particular population to the best of our ability, knowing that some of that faith formation has indeed been lost. In the same vein, unfortunately, only 3% of Hispanic youth are in Catholic schools, which is a staggering statistic, an unfortunate statistic. But our Hispanic young people are, by and large, not going to Catholic schools. We're going to talk more about that in the next part of this four-part series. But how do we address that issue? Another significant issue would be stewardship. The offertory, the collection is comparatively low in a Hispanic community. Why is that? Why? I mean, I think part of the reason is that these immigrant communities have fewer resources. I would also say that they see the church as a place to go for help, not necessarily a place to donate to. It's interesting, in Latin America, most of the parishes are supported by the government and not by the individual parishioners, by individuals or families within the parish. And also the whole notion of parish is difficult for many of our Latino brothers and sisters to grasp. A small town in Mexico, there might be 5 or 6 or 7 churches, Catholic churches, and you would attend Mass at whatever church you desired. There's not necessarily a sense of a parish family or that unity around the parish, as is the case here in this country. So the idea of receiving envelopes for a parish is again altogether foreign. So something that may be very natural to us here in the United States, something that's been a part of our parish experience, envelopes and giving, it's not necessarily the case in the Hispanic community. So how do we address that? How do we help them to be even better stewards of the resources that they've been given? I would say another for sure issue would be there are few vocations coming from the Hispanic community with regard to the priesthood, the diaconate, the religious life. Unfortunately, priests who minister to the Hispanic communities here in this country are either from Latin America or have learned Spanish as a second language. Wouldn't it be great if some of our young people who are growing up in our Spanish-speaking parishes here in the United States said yes to a call to the priesthood and were able to, as bilingual priests, minister to English speakers and Spanish speakers alike. So this is a big issue. We want to foster vocations in the Hispanic community, cultivating those leaders of the church of tomorrow. These are the challenges but the reality is that we have to embrace these challenges. As I mentioned earlier, this is an opportunity for the church here in the United States to again open its doors to the Hispanic population here. We have to work together with all of the resources at hand to overcome these challenges and build up our church with its changing face. So with that in mind, of course, our greatest resource is our prayer. We pray for our parishes here in the United States. We pray for our church here in the United States and all of her members. We pray that we might all become one in Christ, that we might worship him and know him and love him together here on earth and then be with him forever in heaven. So why don't we offer a prayer together now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you have made us your brothers and sisters by your life, death, and resurrection. You've gathered us all together into your church. We ask that you continue to be our shepherd, drawing us closer to yourself in one flock. Continue to guide us, continue to nourish us, continue to protect us from all dangers. Lord, we ask your special blessing upon our listeners today. May their faith, hope, and love continue to grow. May they be instruments of the new evangelization, leading many, many souls to you. Jesus, we make this prayer to you, confident in your love and your mercy. Amen. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Treasures of Our Faith is a production of listener support at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Treasures of Our Faith and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.